training her to do things when fear attacks her, I feel like can help her as a young adult, mm-hmm. as a teenager, even as a mom. If yeah. she ever comes, you mm-hmm. know, and decides she wants to be a mom and has children, I feel like this is stuff that will carry eternal fruit. Yes.
Welcome to Diary of the Mom Squad with Kate and Brittany. Tune in for insights into the hilarious, heartfelt, and often chaotic world of motherhood, where no one has everything figured out and we all need a whole lot of Jesus. So grab a cup of coffee, take a break, and join this crazy journey together. This is Diary of the Mom Squad, where moms connect, support, and thrive.
This month on Diary of the Mom Squad, we're joined by the founder of Ignition Ministries, creator of Warrior Women, WDBJ news anchor, army vet, and mother, Melissa Gayona. The titles, I mean,
I know.
Wow.
You almost had to take a breath.
Perfect for Diary of the Mom Squad,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes. Well, thank you for joining us. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your kids.
Oh, boy. So we missed one title. I also am the communications coordinator at The Lampstand, which
wow.
is Virginia's Ooh. Only safe home for girls who have been either who've experienced sexual exploitation or human trafficking.
Wow.
So I took a position with them in 2021, and it's been eye-opening.
Yeah,
but it's
bet.
Been heavy, but it's been amazing
That's
to be a
awesome.
Part of that faith-based nonprofit.
Yeah, very, very cool. Awesome. Well, tell us about your kids.
Okay, so I have two children. I also have two in heaven. Mm-hmm. But the two that I have with me here are Charlie Poet and Harper Psalm.
Ooh, love those names.
Charlie yeah. is 8 years old, blonde hair, blue eyes, looks nothing like me. Although I feel like her personality is a bit like me. At least that's what I tell myself. And then Harper Psalm is 7 years old this weekend. And, yeah, they are so different, yet so tight. They're only like 20 months apart. So, and Harper has brown hair, brown eyes. So she kind of looks like, she kind of looks like
nice.
My mini me, but no, they're awesome. They, are at a fun age right now, where we can go shopping and I don't have to change diapers anymore. So
that's
nice.
That's nice. I'm in the middle of potty training, yeah. so oh. that's real fun, let me tell you.
I get it.
With social media now and the world that we live in, like raising kids is so much harder, I feel like.
Oh.
So
yeah.
how do we kind of like navigate that and make sure that they get their worth from like Jesus and not from, you know, the things that they see or peer influences and things like that?
Well, praise God, my kids do not have a phone or social
yep.
media.
Nice.
But I will say when my daughter, they go to private school, and when she was in kindergarten or first grade, one of those, she came home and she's like, Mom, so I know what I want for Christmas. I want a phone and
like,
I want
what?
A TikTok. And I was like, hold
know.
Up. Hold yeah. up a second. How did we even get here?
Yeah. Right.
And she said, there's a girl in my school who has a phone and a TikTok, and she brought it to school. Because I was like, well, how do you know?
Right.
And she said she kind of like snuck it in her backpack
what?
And had it. And this is a
Yikes.
Private school that we go to.
Oh, my goodness.
Here's the thing. I grew up much different than my kids. My kids have it pretty good. They're mm-hmm. being raised with the word of God. And my childhood was much different. Mm. And so I feel like I'm bringing that experience to the table when it comes to my kids. But I will say this. Training them in a world where, like, I feel identity is often stolen mm-hmm. from the enemy, especially when it comes to our children.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just being real. And by no means do I claim to have all the answers, okay? But I'll just give you an example. I'll never forget. I was looking in the mirror one day, and I was so close to saying, oh my gosh, I look so fat.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw my daughter, I think she was 4 at the time, mm-hmm. Standing there watching me.
Mm.
And God quickly, the Holy Spirit quickly shut my mouth
yeah.
because I knew I had little eyes watching me.
Mm-hmm.
And so being mindful of things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, too, there's been moments where out of nowhere, I mean, I don't even know where she gets it from. She'll say, I'm so stupid, or I don't like the way that I look, or so one time her pants were too tight. I think she had tried on like a 5 and she's 8.
Yeah,
and she
yeah.
was like, Mom, I look fat. And I'm like, where did you hear that
right.
from? And just kind of trying to speak truth into them biblical truth of where their identity is crucial. But my girls are not allowed to have a cell phone. And I know that, you know, when they're 16, it'll probably, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But I just think that's kind of important of sharing who Christ says they are, because mm-hmm. I can tell them they're smart and beautiful and worth it all day long. Yeah. But it if God says it, it actually has depth
right,
to it.
Yeah. Right. So I think for me too, like growing up, I didn't have a cell phone either. I was like the walkie-talkie kid. And so it was just yeah. so different, because we could get away with that. Like none of our friends really had phones until middle school, maybe high school.
Brittany, phones weren't even a thing when I was a kid.
Yeah. So. Okay. So maybe
me neither.
I mean, and what me a neither. Different world we lived in because of that, though. In right. some ways, it was so nice because the comparison really wasn't there.
Yeah.
And you have kids in middle school and high school. Yeah. And so you're dealing with that, too.
The struggle is real. And, you know, I wish that I had been able to keep them away from cell phones a little earlier mm-hmm. in life. I had a weird situation, you know, and my rule was going to be the same as yours too. Like, we're not getting cell right. phones until like maybe you're driving, right?
Sure.
Like until
sure.
there's a need for some possible roadside
right.
assistance somewhere, you know, that kind of thing. But I went through a divorce, and when you're sharing custody
right.
and
mm-hmm.
kids are bouncing back and forth, and we didn't have a house phone because like those.
No one has those
yeah,
anymore.
Yeah. It's like the way of the
right.
dinosaur with the house phone, you know? So I was like, well, I want my kids to still be able to communicate with me when mm-hmm. they are not in my home.
Mm-hmm.
And so we, my ex-husband and I made the decision to go ahead and get them cell phones so that they could communicate with the other parent when they were not there. But it's been interesting because that was an early like system that we had, and my kids were 4, 6, and 8 when we got divorced. They didn't get the phones until like a couple years after that,
mm-hmm.
but it was still super early in my timeline
sure.
for what I was
yeah.
planning, you
Things
know?
Changed.
Yeah, and even though they didn't have social media until they kind of hit, our rule has always been you cannot have anything like Instagram or Facebook. You absolutely cannot have Snapchat. You can't have TikTok. Like
right,
none of the ones
right.
that, you know, are erasable or anything like
yeah.
that. And if you want an Instagram account, I have to be logged into it. I have to be able to see everything that comes through.
That.
So it's so funny because my husband's like, that would drive me crazy. I'm
yeah.
like, I'm remarried now. And he was like, you get all of their messages. And I was like, yeah, but like,
but
it's
I
a
need
small
to know,
price to
like,
pay, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we, I guess working at the Lamp Stand, we're inside schools, middle schools, high schools, and we're teaching kids how to, you know, to prevent it. And we talk a lot about the dangers of pornography, which we know
mm-hmm.
is running rampant right
yes,
now
yeah,
with
yes.
Really super, super elementary
yes.
young years old.
Yeah.
And so I've been very mindful. My mom always talked to me about, I guess maybe not pornography when I was younger, but sexual abuse and things
right,
like that.
Right.
But one thing I've been really vigilant in and intentional with is teaching them about things that you may feel like, oh, I can't talk to my 7-year-old about
yes.
this.
Yeah.
I'm very
yeah.
open about it, and we talk about it,
mm-hmm.
and I want them to feel like I'm a safe space.
Mm-hmm.
But,
absolutely.
You know, when we talk about, like, self-identity and who your identity is, like, I don't know. It's always one thing to say, well, you just got to tell them the truth. You just got to tell them about Scripture. But, like, what does that look like every day? How
right.
do we walk that
right.
out on a daily? And I just want to give a quick example because this is something that happened recently. My daughter's been experiencing, well, I feel like there's been warfare in our entire home recently.
Mm.
Ignition Ministries is going into prisons soon, a federal penitentiary for women
wow.
sharing the gospel come
That's
May.
Awesome.
And then we have Warrior Women, and my husband's a pastor, so there's just a lot of warfare.
Mm-hmm, right.
And all of a sudden, the enemy starts to attack my daughter at night. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, she's having really, like, night terrors.
Yikes.
And we don't watch scary movies. We don't watch
right.
like it's out of nowhere.
You're like, where's
yeah.
this coming from?
Yeah. And so of course, as if you guys are moms, you know
yeah.
that they come in your room and they want to get in bed with you.
Mm-hmm.
And that is such an easy like, okay, just come in and let's all go back to bed and you don't have to face what's really happening.
Mm-hmm.
But she kept coming into my room, saying she was scared and she felt like there was something in her room.
Mm.
And immediately I set up, and my husband was about to let her in bed with us, and we were just going to go to sleep and be comfortable and act like nothing happened. And I was like, no, wait a second. We're not addressing
mm-hmm.
the evil principalities and mm-hmm. the darkness that the Bible says it's not flesh and blood.
Right. Yeah.
This is not just a night terror. This is the enemy attacking
right.
her. So I said, we got to do something about it. So I got up with her, despite the fact that I was so tired.
Right.
And I went in her room and I told her, I was like, getting you in bed with me is just going to make you comfortable. And we're not addressing the problem, but we're going to address the problem. I'm going to show you how to battle.
Yeah.
And we got on our knees and I said, I want you to tell God who he is. And she said, what do you mean, mommy? And I said, I want you to pray, but I want you to tell God who he is. And what do you mean? And I said, tell him, who is he to you? And so she says, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, aww. He saved me. He loves me. He's my father. And she's saying all these things. And we prayed and we worshiped that night. Like aww. We were singing a song at 3 o'clock in the morning in her room. But you know, here's the thing, walking it out and I think modeling for them, the Bible says train up a child. Mm-hmm. And I'm military, so I have a militant mindset.
Right.
So when you say train, mm-hmm. like we have to be mindful. And I know that word is so prevalent right now, like practice mindfulness.
Yeah.
But here's the thing.
So nice.
I'm going to challenge y'all on a whole new level. It should be kingdom mindfulness.
Yes.
Because in the grand scheme of things, teaching her how to do all these different things is great. But being kingdom mindful is mm-hmm. a whole different thing. Because mm-hmm. like, I'm trying to train her to hear the trumpet. I'm trying to train mm-hmm. her to get ready for the coming of Christ, yes. legit.
Right.
So training her to do things when fear attacks her, I feel like can help her as a young adult,
mm-hmm.
as a teenager, even as a mom. If
yeah.
she ever comes, you mm-hmm. know, and decides she wants to be a mom and has children, I feel like this is stuff that will carry eternal fruit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and sure. wouldn't you much rather that spill out of our kids when they face hard things
yeah.
than to have like worldly phrases or, you know, you were talking about the phrase of mindfulness. Yeah, we see all these catchphrases right now in life, right, that are supposed to make you feel better and supposed to like
yeah.
put something soft in it. But when scripture is coming out of your kids, when the Lord, like his plan is coming out of your kids, it's amazing. And
it's a game changer.
Yes. I can't tell you the number of times in my teenagers' lives now that that has happened. And like, it just floors me every time because sometimes it'll be something that I'm like, I don't even remember telling you that.
Right.
But then I'll be like, oh yeah, that was like 5 years ago that we had that conversation. And, you know, they'll just spit scripture out and they'll be like, no, but like, this is what I can say to this because I know who I am, you know, and
yeah.
I'm just like, yes, you're getting
yay.
It.
Yes.
Like, this is awesome. But the hardship in that, too, is that's a different walk than the rest of the world.
Totally
yeah.
different.
And so it's isolating sometimes,
yeah.
right?
And yeah. sometimes uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yes. And so I think it's us being in tune to the Holy Spirit so that we can
sure.
pour out into our kids. And I know we all have a past. And so what are some things we can do to not let our past affect the way that we raise our kids?
I think there's nothing wrong with telling your kids you're sorry.
Mm.
I think we might be, well, I say we might do that with our spouse. Some of us might struggle with that.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're hopefully as a woman of God, we are quick to say I'm sorry or apologize mm. or, you know, do something like that. Confess when we've wronged a brother or sister or even someone at work in a secular space. But I think with our children, there's nothing wrong with dropping the ball and then coming to your kids and saying, hey, I'm really sorry mm. that I raised my voice at you that way or that I got aggravated or mm. you were trying to talk to me and I wouldn't stop looking at my phone. Like, I want to be intentional. Give me another chance.
Mm-hmm.
Can I show you what I should have done?
Right.
We had a moment like that the other day where we were dealing with some, well, it was a couple months ago, we were dealing with some severe illnesses, and I got really, really scared one night about something, and I made Harper cry.
Mm.
And man, we went to bed on a good note. I apologized, and she forgave me, and everything was fine. But that whole next day, I thought about it.
Mm.
And that night at work, I printed out the lyrics to a song off the Wild Heart album, and I printed it out. It's called Already Have, and it was talking about fear can never conquer me because you already have.
Mm.
So I printed it out for the whole family, and I was like, hey, family meeting. And I sit him down and I was like, I just want to say again, I know you forgave me, but I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Can I show you what I should have done? And they're like, okay, kind of looking at me. And I gave him the lyrics to the song and I played it on Spotify and we all sang it. And then before you know it, the girls have their worship flags out in Charlie's room. Aww. And we're singing. And I was like, this is what I should have done when mommy got scared.
Yeah.
So I think just like being transparent and real and vulnerable with your kids, mm-hmm. like not making them think mommy's perfect.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like
yes.
letting, I mean, just being, you know, like. Yeah, I messed up.
And that's such like a weight off of us, too, because we feel like we have to be this perfect mom and do yeah. all these perfect things. But like you said, I think sometimes the most like the best thing we can do for our kids is just be real, especially yeah. as like my daughter's only 2.5. But as she gets older, like I know the conversations are going to get harder and things are going to yeah. get more mm-hmm. complicated. I can be like, hey, this is what I did. This is where I put my identity. This is where it led me. Let's not do that. Like, mm-hmm. let's switch that mm-hmm. and like find our identity in Christ and maybe not make the same mistakes that mommy made when she was younger.
Yeah. And that authentic communication will reap rewards for mm-hmm. years to come. You know, like I grew up in a very open communication household and I feel so blessed to have been mm-hmm. raised that way. You know, that my parents valued the fact that, yeah, we say sorry when mm-hmm. like things don't go the way that we were supposed to do them, or we're real about the crud that's been in the past, you know, mm-hmm. and the things that God has brought us through. And that's what I have wanted to model for my kids along the way, too. And my husband was commenting the other night. He said, you know, you have such a unique relationship with your kids. They tell you things mm-hmm. that I don't know that many teenagers would mm-hmm. tell their parent. And I guess it just didn't even occur to me that that was not normal to a certain extent, because it's been that way since they've been toddlers. Like,
yeah,
I didn't baby talk them. It's always been open conversation, you know, talking about being afraid of things, or, you know, the body image stuff with my daughter as well. And my sons, actually, it's amazing how much boys struggle with that too.
Yeah.
And we don't think about that. And so, yeah, just the openness, the authenticity, it changes the narrative. Yeah. It changes their story going forward. And I always want my kids to feel like, oh man, I screwed up, but I know that I can call my mom and it's going to be okay because she's like, there might be consequences for
right?
this, but she's going to talk to me and she's going to hear me out and she's going to point me to Jesus. And I think that's the end goal every single time.
Well, and the Bible says we defeat the accuser of the brethren by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and that we did not love our lives to the fullest. Mm. Why don't we share our testimony with our kids? Like,
right?
My
yes.
kids know my testimony.
Mm-hmm.
And while some of it was hard to share, they know it. And they don't even, I think, fully understand what some of it means. But
right.
like when we go do ministry on the weekends and we share testimony at an event or whatever, like they're with me.
Yeah.
So, you know, they've had questions, but just letting them see that side that like I'm only the way that I am now because of Jesus.
Yeah.
Like it is not in my own
right.
power that I can be a good mom, a good wife, a good friend, a good worker. None of those things are capable in my own strength.
I feel like sometimes we shy away from the ugly parts of our testimony,
oh, yeah.
especially when it comes to our kids, because we're like, ooh, we don't want them to like know this
yeah.
about us or have to explain this in detail to them. But like, that's where like the true like transformation of Christ, they can see that like, hey, this is what happened. This is who I was. Then I met Jesus, and this is like
yeah.
the result of that.
Yeah, and there's depth to that statement. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free, right?
Amen.
The freedom to be able to give that to our kids and say, look, no matter what happens, God is present in the middle
yeah.
of anything and everything, and that is your victory over whatever occurs in your life. So, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
What do you think one of the most important things we can do as moms for ourselves is to help us be better moms to our children?
Oh, definitely. Gosh, it sounds so simple and so cliche, but it's so true. Prayer, time in the Word, alone. And I'm not talking devotionals, although I'm not saying devotionals are bad. I'm just saying like literally reading until God speaks to you in the scripture. Not relying on someone else's interpretation of scripture to speak to you, because like
right.
the author is speaking to you. Like, how can the Holy Spirit speak to us through his word? So that prayer, and for me, number three, it is I have to work out. If I don't work yeah. out, I mentally am not okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like my husband can always tell if I haven't been to the gym in like 3 weeks, he's like,
Are you all right?
I think you need to go do something, babe. You're getting a little depressed or, I struggle with that. So just having that time where I can kind of get some endorphins going and pour into myself in that way, mm-hmm. I think is crucial.
And it's important to give yourself the permission to do that. I think we've talked about this before on the podcast already too. That guilt, that mom guilt,
it's
is real. So real, right?
Yeah.
It's so real. It's so real. And with many things. And we are the last one in the list of priorities so many times. And I think of when you're on a plane and it's getting ready to go down, the very first thing they tell you to do is put your own mask on before you help somebody else, And that same concept, we can only give what we are building our bodies up to do, and our spirit. Yeah. If our spirits aren't, trained up, and if they aren't filled up, we can't pour anything out because then we're empty. So no guilt in that.
Right. Like, because if we have moms are setting the temperature of the home and being the nurturing, the part of the home, and we don't pour into ourselves or have that time in scripture by ourselves. And then, I'm going to be real quick to get frustrated. My 2-year-old, she knows the word frustrated now. And I'm probably because I tell her, because I'm very honest with her, mommy's frustrated right now because of the way that you're eating your food. And so I'm trying to communicate my frustration in a way where I'm not yelling at her or being mean to her, but I'm I am frustrated. And so now she'll go, I'm frustrated. And I'm tell me why. And she can't really communicate why. But even those things, I wouldn't be able to do if I didn't spend time in the Word in the morning or spend time in prayer in the morning. I would just be stop doing that. Yeah. Which I do sometimes as well. And then I have to apologize. But
what a gift to continue to give your 2-year-old that she's understanding. That's a big concept. For a 2-year-old to be I'm frustrated. And she might not understand completely what it means, but you're giving her the freedom to start recognizing what those emotions are as she's getting older. And I think that's awesome.
I was recently challenged about my prayer life. And it was actually a sermon my husband did. He said, if the church body, and I don't mean just the four walls, the church, the body of Christ, prayed the way you prayed, would that add from the kingdom of God or take away? If the body of Christ read the word like you did, would that give or take away from the kingdom of heaven? And same thing with serving or whatever. If we loved the way, if everyone loved the way you did. So that really challenged me in my prayer life because I feel like I do wear many hats and sometimes I'm being pulled in so many different directions that I wake up with good intention. I'm going to pray, I'm going to get in the word, but then life happens and I don't. And so I was challenged before you get out of the bed, legit, do not leave your bedroom or even go to use the restroom before you have hit your knees and prayed in some capacity. So sometimes that is 20 seconds. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And I've sometimes found myself 20 minutes. Like this morning, I woke up super early without the alarm. And so I was I'm just going to pray before my kids get up.
Yeah.
Because I knew the moment they get up. But it's almost having to set boundaries with my kids and saying, well, Mom, I gotta go poop. I'm okay, well, you go ahead
and
I will help you when I'm done right here. Yeah. I'll be 10 seconds.
Right.
So, sometimes it looks different, but being intentional and kingdom minded to do not leave this bedroom until I've talked to God in some way, shape, or form.
I like that. Yeah.
So Warrior Women is coming up, and this can be a great opportunity for moms and daughters to come together.
Yeah.
So tell me about Warrior Women, how it started, what it is.
Oh, man. So Warrior Women started in 2023. And that's when the ministry started, January of 2023, Ignition Ministries. And it was really at the time, God had laid on my heart a fire for the lukewarm church, because I had been there. And I was God was calling me to this new level, to level up with him. And I just had this fire in my belly. And I thought, well, I can't be the only one, okay?
Right?
I can't be the only one who's kind of on this complacent, comfortable relationship with the Lord and honestly just bored. And so Ignition Ministries was birthed and I knew it was going to come with a Warrior Women conference event, whatever you want to call it. And so we had it in 2023, but we had it in a church and tickets sold out in 3 days.
Wow.
And it was awesome. We had about 250 women. But when I left, and it was fruitful, we had, countless salvations, baptisms, but when I left, I was so, so heavy, and I could not figure out why.
Yeah.
And when I went to bed that night and I prayed and I kind of journaled, it was evident that I was missing something. And I knew what that something was. It was there are people out here who are not comfortable going into a church.
True.
Mm-hmm. There are people who maybe have been hurt by the church and aren't comfortable coming to a church. Or there's an atheist who's not going to come to anything that's inside of a church.
Right.
So I knew that next year it was not going to be in a church, and that I really wanted to go outside of the four walls of a church. And something I've noticed within the church is how divided we are.
Yes.
You've got Protestants, mm-hmm. you've got Pentecostals, Catholic, Methodist, Lutheran, yep. you know, and it's like, but we're so divided.
Yeah.
And this is like the body of Christ. I don't understand. Mm-hmm. And so then God birthed something new in me. And that was that in 2024, I wanted the church walls to come down and let's just come in agreement with Jesus and seek him.
Mm-hmm.
So we did it at the Salem Civic Center in 2024. And I was like, they said, how many people do you expect? And I said, 250. That's what we did last year, maybe 300.
Yeah.
We ended up having nearly 1,000 women.
It was awesome. That's we were amazing. There. I mean, it was incredible.
Yeah, like it was. And so I was kind of blown away that God did that. I know I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so here we are again in 2025, Warrior Women Front Lines. And this is just a moment where no matter what religion you are, whether you believe or don't believe, or you're just curious, or you're complacent, or you're on fire.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. It's a space where we want you to come and learn about why the front line is so hard.
Mm.
Why is, when you truly seek out to follow Jesus, why is it so difficult?
Mm.
So we're going to hear from panel speakers on that. And here's what's really cool. They're from like all three of these ladies are from all different walks of
That's
life.
Awesome.
I mean,
that.
They have three totally different testimonies.
Mm-hmm.
Then we've got testimonies. We have two testimonies that'll blow your mind. Cassie Conley and Mariah Joy Broden. She just got married. Sorry. and then we'll have the Worship Warriors back doing a flag performance on front lines. And I have a special surprise this year for you guys, but I cannot tell you what it is. I've been sworn to secrecy.
I'm so curious.
But it will blow your mind. We've got a powerhouse worship team. And here's what's really cool. It's not just one worship team. We have a whole bunch of different churches coming together for that.
That's so cool.
We have a solo performance by Crystal Williams. Her voice will take you straight to heaven. and listen, a call to salvations and then an opportunity to get baptized. And I'm just excited to see what the Holy Spirit's going to do this year.
And this is a great opportunity to invite someone that you said probably won't go to a church. And that's
what
we love about radio, too, is like we can reach people who aren't going to go to a church service. And so invite your neighbors, invite your friends, invite your kids and just come and enjoy it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I've had some people say, well, how young? I said, well, there's not childcare. So just,
right.
you know, be mindful of that. But if they are, I would, my girls go.
Yeah.
And my girls are 7 and 8. So bring them.
Yeah. I love it. I love your enthusiasm. I love that you can see Jesus drips off of you.
Yes.
I don't know if you know that or not.
Yeah,
but yeah. Yeah. He's dripping off of you in the best way possible. And yeah, this is going to be a powerful event, so we would encourage you to check it out for sure.
Yeah,
and I'm excited you guys are going to have a presence there this year.
Yeah, we're going to be back. We're so excited. I mean, I just remember the dance performance last year to Take It All Back by Torrin Wells, and then we started playing the song, and I was like, this is just so great.
So
it gets me like so fired up. So.
Oh, wait till you see this year's Brittany.
Oh, I'm so excited. Well, thank you so much for joining us, and if you're listening right now, you can text Warrior to 800-424-9594. You can enter to win tickets to Warrior Women. It's coming up March 29th at 2 p.m. at the Salem Civic Center. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yes, I'm so glad. Thank you, ladies, for having me. And just a heads up, I brought t-shirts for the giveaway. No one has these t-shirts yet.
Ooh.
So they are the
Warrior
Women Frontline t-shirts
and the
Ignition Ministry t-shirt, brand new, hot off the press, that you can give away to your listeners.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Diary of the Mom Squad. Tune in next time for more stories, more laughter, and the reminder that we always need more Jesus. You got this, Mom.